Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You got it!
It's time for episode 617 of Who Charted, the show where comedians and musicians discuss the top 5 songs and movies of the week. Congratulations, you have reached checkpoint Rocktober 2022 on the road to summer 2023. I'm your host, H. Michael Cray, aka Chart Linklater, Howard Kramer. What's up, Starred?
How's it going, man? It's the last week of Rocktober.
Yes.
I feel like we got to just extend it. It's so fun.
I know. I'd love to keep making the months musical. Tech November, get some DJs up in here.
Yeah. there you go.
Yeah. EDM Sember, get some DJs up in here.
Yeah. I'm not opposed to that.
I wonder if it's DJs fun. Would have anything to say. What insight would they give? Like, I hit the button and then I go like this.
Do you think they would do the Zoom with like one headphone in their ear? You
yeah, exactly. Know, just listening to mixes one, all listening time. To the,
yeah.
Serato going on the countertop.
Serato. You know, Carl yeah. Tart, our friend, does, he's a DJ.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah. He does like full spinning for places.
It's let's get cool. Them on Tech November.
Yeah.
We got, let's make a guest list. Moby, Carl yeah. Tart. what's that other guy we always talk about?
DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Jazzy Jeff.
Yeah.
One of those guys with a European name. Swedish House
oh,
Mafia.
We'll oh, get yeah, those guys. Yeah, yeah.
There you go. Hey, yeah, we got a lot of rock still left in this month. A lot of things going on. I want to wish a happy 100th to our sister station over there across the pond, the BBC. BBC, 100 wow. years this week.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
They outlasted
it's a long
the Queen.
Time in that. Say it.
They outlasted the Queen.
They did. Yes. Oh, wow. Good point. She's yeah. like... old news. She was, what'd she make it? 82, 83?
Yeah. I wonder if they're covering James Corden.
Outlasting just about everything over there.
Whoa. We've got our own
is
queen.
Is that a ghost?
It's the ghost of the queen. Let's introduce our guests. Find out what she's been up to. Here she comes. You know her from being on Who Charted. You know her from Speedy Ortiz. Welcome back to the Chart Orchard, Sadie Dupuis.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
Happy Rocktober.
Thanks, you too.
Oh yeah, welcome
every
back.
Every day is Rocktober.
Oh shit, yeah.
World.
Oh, that's right. That's good to make it a whole year-round thing. To
yeah,
rock
if it
out.
Can all be Halloween, why can't it all be Rocktober?
Hell yeah. Are you doing special Rocktober shows, dress up in costume, planning anything to make it an extra special Halloween?
I always kind of fly by the seat of my pants for Halloween. Unless I'm on tour, I will be guest teaching on Halloween. I'm trying to determine if I can show up in a costume at a university. We'll see.
Okay.
I did just come home from a book tour. Had a book out a few weeks ago, and one of the it was like I was doing readings and Q&As, and alongside Michael DeForge, one of my favorite graphic novelists and writers. One of the Q&A's was moderated by one of our friends dressed as Ghostface from Scream. And instead of asking us about our books, she engaged in a high-stakes trivia game where we answered questions about the Scream movies. So
that, did she that have the microphone?
Maybe it's enough to last me.
Yeah, really. Was the microphone stuck up inside the mask?
How I had to hold that? It up for her when she asked the questions because she couldn't see very well in the ghost face.
That's far, I'm interested
That's the
in
great the first question of that whole.
Yeah,
we just heard a lot of information.
Yeah, I feel like headset mic would be the way to go next time.
What do you teach? Yeah, the Garth Brooks mic.
I have taught writing in the past. In this case, I'd be guesting in an audio recording class talking about.
Ooh, yeah. Very cool.
Right on. And then how would you say a book tour compared to a music tour?
God, it's so much more relaxed. I don't have to be there for like 10 hours. Yep. There's none of that.
You don't have to lug equipment?
No load in, no load out. Maybe a box of books if the store isn't selling them. You don't make very much money is one thing, but
are books easier to sign than records?
Different. You need different pens. It's really hard to sign a book with a Sharpie, tell you that much.
Interesting. Wow.
Did you guys hear about Taylor Swift's different pens?
What's she got?
No.
She uses three different pens for her lyrics. She for some it's a calligraphy, for some it's ballpoint, and for some it's glitter pen.
Does that
really?
What's the distinction between what pen goes to what?
I don't know if she's revealing that next album cycle, but all she put forth on this little blurb was just three different pens.
These secrets are just getting more and more convoluted.
Yeah.
I used to record Kevin Pollak's podcast every once in a while, and he always has a pen on him, and it's his total icebreaker. I've seen him pull it out multiple times, and it's like this fancy pen, and then he kind of goes like, hey, I have a funny story about this pen. And then apparently like Tom Cruise gave it to him on the set of...
Wow.
What was that movie? All the President's Men or something like that. Or like that 90s movie. But he had this whole perfectly like scripted out story that
like
he always told. And it was like the best icebreaker I'd ever seen. We always laughed about his pen. As soon as you saw him bring out that pen, you knew it was coming.
He's going to drop
What's
Tom
the
Cruise's
story
name.
Story in particular. Just Tom Cruise gave me this?
I mean, that's what stuck out to me. And I
want it
like
to be like, I removed this from Tom Cruise's hands during an actorly fit of rage.
Right. There's definitely more twists and turns to the story.
Yeah.
But I think the Tom Cruise factor was the key point.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, it would be for me too.
I did pick up a really good pen on this tour. I went to between Detroit and Cleveland. In Sandusky, Ohio, there is a bar known as the Original Margaritaville. Are either of you familiar with the Original Margaritaville?
I don't know. Yeah, I only know the Jimmy ones.
The Jimmy Buffett. So obviously the song came first. Uh-huh. And then in Sandusky, they opened a bar next to a waterfall with all kinds of... I don't know how much of this has been built up since then. Mm-hmm. But they opened a bar called Margaritaville. And then 2 years later, Jimmy Buffett opened his Margaritaville and franchised it. And because this bar came first, they weren't able to be sued. So their entire shtick is just, we came before, despite being named after original. Jimmy Buffett's song, we're here before the franchise.
So they
great incredible. Experience.
It
wonderful
seems like he
tiki
wrote
drinks.
The song about them.
Yeah, exactly. So I felt like I had to take a pen from the Original Margaritaville
awesome.
When I signed the check, but alas, it's a pen for the like city treasurer of Sandusky.
Oh, boy.
But I'll still remember.
It seems
where
like
it
a
came
different, like it's tied to a different piece of American history,
right? The Sandusky trials.
Hey, you know, he wrote that song in Austin, they say, at Matt's El Rancho, the restaurant.
Really?
Yeah, in South, whatchamacallit.
He wrote the song in a restaurant?
They said he was having margaritas in Matt's El Rancho, and then he went back to wherever he was staying and started writing the song.
Wow.
He was actually wasting away due to being away from the margaritas.
Yeah, he was so hungry.
That's the part they don't tell us.
Yeah, he was trapped inland in Austin by a lake. Well, right on. I'm going to be using three different mics today for all the different ways we're going to be attacking the show.
I love it. And, yeah, for each chart.
Yeah. And why don't we find out what's going on in the music chart? And I'll now wrap the history of recorded music. Here we go. Music. We used to play LPs, 8-tracks, cassettes, and CDs. Now we download and we stream. What's next? NFTs? Tunes. All right.
All right. Well,
everybody, check out Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your ad goes here.
Your ad goes here.
Yeah. We can advertise movies, video games, albums, NFT drops, whatever it is.
Whatever you want. Yeah. Contact us.
Poetry books.
All right. We're looking at the Spotify chart this week.
Okay.
And I mean, the biggest news of the week in music is T Swift released her new album. So let's see. Let's see what happens.
Now, this was, I mean, it's kind of just the way it happens now.
Yeah.
Just another surprise album. No build up. You just kind of find out this thing's coming out today, right?
Oh, no. Built this one up like like bonkers.
Yeah, the build up has just been insane.
Okay.
We'll get to her.
So coming in, number 5. Where's she been advertising? Tiger Mart? Where's she? Convenience stores? Where's the rollout?
I mean, she's got her whole ecosystem
Twitterverse.
At this point.
Okay.
I mean, it's like the Swifties. Might as well say she's advertising on the Taylor Swift platform, you know?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
It has been wild seeing all of my favorite local independent record stores being like, thank you so much, Taylor, for kindly gifting us with 4 variants of signed vinyl, and we will not accept any pre-orders. Please come into the stores. So I think it's everywhere.
Wow. She just, yeah. She knows how to ingratiate herself with every demographic.
And she was doing a full thing, like a video for every song title. She was pulling out almost like a lottery, like a lotto ball. And then she would announce the song title and all the fans would just go insane just hearing a title of a song.
Wow.
She really teased this record out.
Have the other songs she's put out changed their life so much that they have this expectation that it's, I mean, who are these? Who's waiting that hard for these tunes? I mean, it's like she's pretty deep into her career, you know.
People who like solving puzzles about gossip.
Yeah,
right. There you go.
That's one big contingent.
Yep. Yeah, tied into TMZ and all that. Right.
All right. Coming in at number 5.
What's coming in at number 5? It's a riddle.
Oh, good call.
Tease it.
This is Zach Bryan. With Something in the Orange.
Phones and drive your young mind crazy. But when you place your head between my collar and jaw, I don't know much, but there's no weight at all. And I'm damned if I do, and I'm damned if I don't.
Brooding country.
Yeah. The fish ain't biting. I'm sitting out on my boat.
Yeah.
It's a dark time.
The mosquitoes are out.
So many guys with that sound now. That Chris Stapleton sound.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's got to be from Chris Stapleton, right?
Are you saying like the coaches his have influence. A coaching tree? Yeah, he's like, yeah.
I don't know much of anything about Zach Bryan. What's there for me to learn?
Oh, latest country guy who kind of doesn't do anything upbeat, sits there with a beat up acoustic and reeks of authenticity. I don't usually get that drawn in by it because it's, you know, I mean, it's like somber minor chords. You know, I like the funny side of country, the fun side or the classics. But they
I miss
put a
that
guy
kind
like
of,
this out.
I miss that kind of like talking country, the old stuff, you know. You've shown me a lot of that. What was that guy's name? Tex Rooster or something?
Oh, Red Sauvin?
Red Sauvin, yeah.
Yeah, the trucker guy. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
There's I like something trucking country. Me as this guy's not trucking, huh?
No.
Is this like big for TikTok? What?
Yeah.
Why?
Why?
I'm shocked that this is a modified top five.
Yeah, yeah. Taylor should have definitely beat this. What's going on here?
Coming in at number four.
Number four.
Romantic Homicide by D4VD. This is definitely a TikTok hit.
That's a TikTok, you say?
Yeah.
What are they doing on that?
I think it's like a 17-year-old who blew up on TikTok.
I mean, I can get down with the concept of a romantic homicide in spooky season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good for the time. Yeah.
D4VD, is this like David? What?
Yeah, is that a weird way of saying good call. David?
Yeah. It's like pager code for David.
Yeah, Mom, call me.
I'm pro-numeronym.
Yeah. Don't call me David anymore, Mom. It's D4DD. Somber. I mean, those two guys could tour together. They both had the same BPMs going.
Showing up at Starbucks, ordering my pumpkin spice latte, spelling out my name, D4VD.
Yeah.
There was a tweet the other day. It's so simple, but it struck me. It was like, how about this for an album? Some fast songs. Like, has anyone ever tried that? It feels like
it's not vibes.
Like it's a lost art.
Brett.
Yeah.
I mean, to have every song be fast too, there's maybe one out of 50 albums that doesn't
it's crazy,
stick in
right?
that slow thing.
I'll take a 9 out of 10 fast.
Me too.
All right. Coming in at number three.
Number three.
This is Sam Smith and Kim Petras with Unholy. Doing something unholy. Daddy, daddy, if you want to drop the attic, give me love, give me Fendi, my Balenciaga daddy. You gonna need to bag it up, cause I'm spending on Rodeo. You can wish me back it up, I'll be gone in the AM. And he got me Prada, get me Miu Miu like Rihanna. He always call me cause I never cause no drama.
Wow. I haven't heard one good quality in there.
Oh, wow.
So this song made the news. I haven't heard it yet, but I think for both Sam Smith and Kim Petras, they are the first non-binary and trans artists respectively to hit number one on Billboard charts. They did it together. I have some like Kim Petras quibbles for the Dr. Luke connection, but I want to love her.
Yeah.
And congrats to them for.
I like the music. I mean, that's for sure. It's like compelling music.
She was great at Coachella. Like, she put on a hell of a show.
She's also in Los Spookies this season and is very good.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think she's the Secretary of State or something.
Right on. Well, they did a great track together. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's big. I'm hearing it everywhere.
I still have not heard this, other than the snippet, but I will check it out.
It's really racy, but I mean, everything they're saying is like something you wouldn't want in a partner or something. Like, it just everything sounds like a bad thing you'd hear on a speed date and go next. But they're transparent. They lead with the good, the bad, and whatever.
All right, coming in at number two.
Number two,
Steve Lacy, Bad Habit. If I decide if you're invited, you always knew the way to wow me. Fuck around, get tongue-tied. I turn it on, I make it rowdy. Then carry on, but I'm not hiding. You grab.
Nice mix start. Were you pulling out the different elements?
I was just I almost started looking around like, did I take something out somehow?
Yeah. Well done.
I like that song. I didn't know it was so big.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty big for like an indie sounding different sound.
It was number one for a while. that's been big.
Yeah, there's kind of a little scene of guys like this. I'm going to play some in the Hot Picks. It's kind of a also similar album. Guy doing his own kind of experimental-y, guitar-y kind of stuff like this. But
yeah,
it also seems informed by hip-hop and, you know, a lot of new stuff.
I mean, it's Halloween. We can admit that Geminis are scary.
Oh, and yeah.
This song is speaking truth to truth.
Yes, for sure. I got some in my family. I can attest.
Amen. So I got a lot of Gemini friends, okay? You guys are scary.
Yeah.
All right, coming in at number one.
Oh, number one.
Here we go. Taylor Swift with Anti-Hero.
Mm. Thank you for including that part.
She's speaking what we all think.
Yeah.
So these lyrics leaked before the record and based solely on sometimes I feel like everybody's a sexy baby. I was like, I'm going to have to check this one out.
This must have been a glitter one. Glitter pen.
Yeah. Dana has become just like a diehard Swiftie, and she's been paying attention to every single morsel of coded messaging and promotions and riddles. And sub-tweets. There's all these conspiracy theories. I mean, it's as if, you know, you go on the Game of Thrones, like Reddit, and you find all the fan theories and stuff. It's full blown in the Swiftiverse these days. Like, what's she really saying? She's about to come out with like this huge revelatory news.
She outed a celebrity baby's name.
Really?
That's
really?
The headline. I didn't click. I wasn't baited by the click.
Oh, but, like she did. Are the parents pissed?
I don't know. I didn't click it. I'm going to have to do that.
Hey, well, let me ask you about this one. Uh-huh. There was a story last week where she was helping a friend move. Like she was spotted with her new beau and they were helping a friend move. I mean, there's just no, I mean, I've had a week to think about a scenario where you go, we got to move today. I know, I'll call Taylor Swift. Like, she was like walking down the street, like, you know, she had a picture in a frame and like the guy had a vacuum or something.
That's
like,
crazy.
Was there anything about that?
It's a crafty PR move, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very hard to swallow PR move.
I kind of dig, I like this record and I listened to it only because so many people were tweeting that they didn't like it.
Yeah.
I didn't really get into the two before this that everyone was like pretty gaga over, but I think this sounds like The Blow or something.
I like this song the most of what I've heard so far. I like this one, but the whole, from what I've heard, it all sounds like one song, like one long.
It's a real mid-tempo. Like bedroom pop template that just got copied and pasted, but
yeah,
I feel like I didn't mind it for her.
Yeah. It definitely sounds like music you're supposed to just listen in a bedroom and feel feelings and vaguely wistful, you know? Like there's like no big shake it off type.
It feels like the way sports feels, like it's compelling in the moment, you know, like right now it matters for a couple of weeks and you got to listen to it. Like it's almost like an event, you know?
Yeah.
Like in the way, you know, like you say, Dana's getting into it, the way like talk radio is like, what does this mean?
So much
Patrick Mahomes, what's going to happen with the Chiefs? Right.
Everyone, know, like, I feel like her fan base acts as if everything she does and says is unprecedented.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like this might be an album that, like we've never seen an album release.
Right, this will change like our lives.
Yeah, and it's just kind of, it's hard to live up to that, but.
I think I like it because it's not quite, it's like, she could have done a return to form, shake it off style Mondo production, but it truly sounds like she made it in her bedroom, even though Jack Antonoff and Lana Del Rey and whoever else are.
Right. But I kind of like that she is planning like for the long haul. Like, you know, like this is just a period. Like this is the Antonoff period or whatever. And then like maybe in 5 years she'll be doing something like I personally like better.
Yeah.
But it just comes like the way Dolly, I would never compare her to Dolly, but like, you know, you can just see the different periods throughout the decade. So maybe, she hits one in the, you know, in the 2040s that everybody's
I am awaiting
into.
Her stoner metal phase, and I...
oh, hell yeah.
It could come.
She co-ops all that.
It could.
She's fine doing 10-minute songs, so
right.
Let's get some riffs to match them.
Yeah, some, like, blacklight posters.
Yeah.
Her taking bong riffs.
Right. I mean,
down-tuning her guitar.
Tom Morello is brought in.
I saw her on Jimmy Fallon, and he was, you know, being extra Jimmy Fallon, like as if he had never met a rock star before. But yeah. he was like, on the day of release, it's already the biggest album of 2022. It's outsold like every album. So, I mean, she's on like a different level these days. I will say, like,
her personality, to be seen helping her friends move.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a strategy.
Yeah. Her personality seems like it's getting slightly in that too big for
cartoonish.
Normal humanity, like, yeah. range, you know, like she's so famous and so rich and everything. I don't know. It was like, she seemed less relatable maybe than she used to be, or she seemed almost like awkward.
She'll figure
out. Like, engineer a cult leader. The relatability.
Yeah.
Right.
She could be a cult leader if she wanted to.
Warren Jeffs.
Taylor Swift, if you're listening, yeah. I have all this dry cleaning I need to drop off that has just been sitting in a pile
by.
For 4 years.
So
if you want to come by and help me with my ADHD problems.
Well, that was number one, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Congratulations, Swifties. You did it again. Your girl's at number one.
And do you have any predictions for how long this will be number one?
Ooh.
The rest of
the
year.
I think this is the time to make the prediction.
This track or tracks from this album? Because she's going to keep subbing in new music videos, I think.
It's a good call. I kind of think this track is going to be the one that lasts for a long time. That's my prediction.
Oh, okay.
Through Christmas.
I haven't really sampled the other ones too heavy. I'm sure she'll just be all over it, no matter what track it is.
I like Karma, and I'm going to predict Karma will eke its way into a chart or two.
She'll stay on top.
There was a signature moment in one of the songs. I forget where it is, but she all of a sudden just kind of started talking like,
oh, yeah, it's on this one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's the one I think.
Yeah, fades out on it.
That did kind of change my life, because when I heard it, I listened to it three times. So.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, she really do that? That's kind of cool.
She's just like us, muttering into oblivion.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like us. Well, congratulations to her and Jack Antonoff. Did you see the guy that was predicting what songs were produced by Jack Antonoff solely based on his hatred of Jack Antonoff's producing style?
I think I saw that.
Yeah.
How much did he get right?
It was like mostly all of them. Then there would be a few that weren't, and he would catch it. But I don't know if he's doing it out of familiarity or if it's really just the first time he heard it. But it
I saw
100%.
I saw people on Twitter. It was really funny. Like, there was a Swiftie thread just raging at Pitchfork for giving it like a 7, which is, in Pitchfork's terms, that's like a raving review. It's hard to get above
and
7.
Tagging and harassing also, writers who just have freelanced for Pitchfork, who had nothing to do with
it. I mean,
it
was crazy. They're outraged that there was any criticism.
They must all be 14. I mean, who else?
Right?
Yeah. Well, congrats again. We'll see if she made number one in the movies chart as well. We'll be right back. With the movie chart.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I'm H. Michael Cray, and I'm here with my guests, Sadie Dupuis and
Brett Morris.
And this is The Movie Chart.
Movies, they're just like tweets. They release them constantly. Most of them we don't need to see. But when you get a good one, ooh-wee, movies.
This is the movie chart. People are returning to the movies to see horror. Let's find out.
All right, coming in at number five.
Number five.
Lyle, Lyle, Crocodile.
Whoa, scary. No one ever has to
hide. Everybody get out of here! There's a crocodile in the house! There is treasure you
can find. Lyle. That's the voice of the crocodile.
Whoa.
Oh, wow, Brett Gelman's in it.
Gelman's in it?
It looks like Gelman's in it.
What animal do you think he is?
he was just live action Gelman.
Oh, okay.
He's already some sort of animal. It's crazy, right? How huge he is these days.
Oh, congrats to that.
Yeah.
Is this one Pixar or Disney? What's this one?
Good question.
I was unaware of this being a movie until like a week ago when we did, I guess we read in Baltimore, and my tour mate kept joking, like, oh, we're up against Lyle, Lyle, Crocodile tonight. And I thought he was referring to the children's book from many years ago. Mm-hmm. He kept saying it, and only
you're
then
like,
did
oh,
I
shit.
Learn.
We got a book tour
this
competition.
This has been suddenly adapted.
This one is Sony Pictures.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, there hasn't been that many great crocodile movies. I mean, maybe this is the one.
Yeah. I can't get over that would be the voice of a crocodile. Shawn Mendes singing like that.
Yeah.
Is Shawn Mendes the crocodile?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
This generation of kids, the things they want is unbelievable.
Yeah. All right. Coming in number four.
Number four.
Halloween Ends.
I saw him watching me.
You pretend like you moved on, but you're actually just obsessed with death.
What are you going to do when Michael comes back for you? Because he is coming.
Boo.
Supposed to be just awful. Almost worth seeing it for just how bad it is, apparently.
Still haven't seen any of this particular Halloween trilogy, but I feel like the last time I thought or talked about it, I maybe was on this podcast with the two of you.
Oh, okay. It was.
Talking last about October. The trauma supercut.
Yeah. The first one was good. And then that's what everyone is talking about. It's like, how could they screw this up so much? Like, the first one was great. And it seemed to be this exciting new trilogy. And then the second and third one just totally lost it.
Mm.
I just watched the Rob Zombie one. Yeah, there's a Rob Zombie Halloween, like, where he was like a kid. It's like,
yeah, it's like an overgrown kid.
Yeah, Michael Myers was a kid killing everybody.
Yeah.
There's also a Rob Zombie Munsters, which I watched about 2/3 of last night before falling asleep.
How was that? That's a great, October pick.
Yeah.
I was having a pretty good time with it until I fell asleep during it. So, take that for what it is.
Is there a lot of rock music in it? Does it feel like a zombie kind of thing?
There's a little shredding. It's very cutesy.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah. Has White Zombie ever reunited? I wonder.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, not sure. They'd have to,
get all their
dig out
back.
Those. Yeah, those dreads, they don't keep well over time.
Right.
It looks as though
bring the
they
original
have
dreads
not.
Back.
Yeah. All new songs, same old dreads.
Same dreads. They were good. I liked them. All right, coming in at number three.
Number three.
Smile.
Yesterday, a patient in your care died brutally in front of you.
I need to find an explanation for what happened.
It's smiling at me.
So I love this trailer because maybe just after where you cut audio, I forget who's the main actor in this. She's using like RX to uncover ghost audio.
I just
in her
noticed that, right? You said that.
What is she doing?
I noticed
she's
that
using
in the,
like the audio that Brett will use to clean up our speaking voices on this podcast.
Yeah,
how can you tell
to reveal ghost audio because it's just like
Isotope RX.
This is insider stuff even I can't follow.
It's funny because it hasn't naturally... I don't blame them for using it because, like, the interface of it looks like spooky. Something you'd see on TV as, like, an analyzing, like, you know, program.
Oh, you can see in the trailer they're using it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She has a computer open.
You can tell by the sound of it.
It's not being used for its actual purpose, unless it has a ghost mode that I just have been missing out on all these years. Okay.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I forgot about that. I saw the movie, and when that scene came on, I was like, that's Isotope. I know what they're doing.
It's not the kind of scary movie I gravitate towards. I don't like an uncanny face. I certainly don't like an uncanny face flipped upside down, but the RX scene is so funny to me that I might just suffer through it.
Yeah. It has the perfect interface of like a CSI moment in TV. Like, let's enhance that. Yeah. You know,
sounds
signal.
Like a Ed Wood move. Like, let's make this look like the spaceship console.
Right.
It's just like a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
I always like though when movies come up with their own, you know, operating system.
Yeah.
You know, when you see just the stupid, like, interface of a future computer, and it's always just, like, just huge words that just jump right out at them and does everything they want.
The one thing that's germane to the plot, or the one thing that's relevant to the plot, is super big, and everything else is small writing.
Right. And it just does a lot of beeps and boops and, like, There's always like a screensaver effect for it to process what they just asked.
Mm-hmm.
It never just comes right up. All right, coming in at number two.
Number two.
Ticket to Paradise.
Whoa, this is heat, baby. Clooney and Roberts.
How could they use this song and not Two Tickets to Paradise?
Mm. Eddie Money, yep.
Sorry. Oh, come on.
Yeah, Clooney and Roberts.
Excuse me, ma'am. I need to sit somewhere else. We used to be married.
Worst 19 years of my life.
We were only married for 5.
I'm counting the recovery.
These three dog night.
They're the Sam and Diane of our generation. From Cheers.
Yeah.
They are going. There's sexual tension right there, baby.
I was unaware of this movie.
You don't see city buses going by? They're pumping the shit out of this.
Oh, yeah. We got trolleys in Philly.
This is definitely a city bus movie.
Billy Lord, isn't it? I like her.
Do you take the trolley a lot?
I take it once in a while.
Next, on Friday, she's taking the trolley down to the stadium to go see the Phillies take on those cheating Astros.
If I had to cross the city mid-sports game, I suppose I would take the trolley.
Yeah.
Right on. Hit some fans on the way across town.
There was a great clip of people post the game on, I guess it was Sunday. People were just cheering, "Go, SEPTA," like over and over again for the trolley being completely blocked by cheering Phillies fans. So we do love our transit here.
Yeah, they must be going crazy over there.
They greased all the polls.
Yeah.
Well in advance of the outcome.
Is Diplo coming back into town to do a special show?
I doubt it. Diplo takes rent on the DIY space, though.
I always love that Three Dog Night song that's in the trailer.
Mama told me not to come.
Randy Newman wrote that song. You know that?
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Nice one.
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy little footnote.
Oh, when you think of the lyrics are kind of funny, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. But they did the definitive version for sure. It just sounds like a party going on. All right, coming in at number one.
Number one.
Black Adam.
I dropped a Black Adam and I blacked Adam as the best rapper alive.
The Rock.
Not a gift, but a curse.
No.
I can't believe The Rock hasn't been a superhero yet in one of these franchises.
Yeah. Pretty crazy.
They're really holding on to that one.
This feels like a lot like the T-Swift thing. It's like supposed to be this life-changing event. And then, yeah. I don't know, 49 on Rotten Tomatoes or whatever. Yeah. It's just like,
and people on Twitter are getting very angry at
they are,
film critics.
That it was so overhyped? Is that what they're mad
at? No, they're
at?
Getting angry that people are trying to apply the rules say of it's criticism bad. To it.
Yeah. Oh, so Twitter's just mad.
They're like
at
highfalutin
critics.
People who call them films shouldn't even be able to utter the phrase Black Adam.
Oh my God,
that's insane.
We're snobs if we
in
don't
what
love
world
Black
would
Adam.
This even if it was good for a DC film? In what world would it, you know, deserve a huge high number, you know, from critics?
Right.
I feel like that's definitely that's a sign.
In the DC multiverse is where,
yeah. Yeah, I've heard that, you know, they put it, they you know, they were hoping that The Rock could save the DC universe, you know, and it feels like another stinker.
Right. Mm. And they need a good story to save it, right? Like throwing a celeb at it doesn't usually work.
Yeah, it just seems like Batman's the only one that really works for DC.
Yeah.
I got it on DVD. I'll be able to watch it all. Batman, Batman Forever, Batman and Robin, the original Batman 66, Adam West.
Oh, wow. You got the Adam West on DVD?
I got an extra copy of that if you want one.
Sure.
Give me your mailing address right now.
Bleep, 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 bleep.
Bloop, bloop, bleep. Well, hey, congratulations to everybody who made it into the top
congrats,
five.
Congrats, guys.
That.
Yeah.
You did it. Congrats, yeah. Clooney. Congrats, Roberts.
Yeah. I mean, you're in theaters. I mean, that's a big deal just to even be in theaters right
totally.
Now.
Totally. Yeah.
So congrats on that. Yeah. And we will be right back with the hot picks. The hot picks. The hot picks. The third chart is the hot picks and the countdown's about to start. Let's see who bought a hot pick and let's see who did not. The hot picks. The hot picks. These are the hot picks. We'll see if together we beat Spotify. I bet we did.
All right. Coming in at number five.
Number five.
This is Howard's first pick. This is Enchanting and Gucci Mane with Issa Photograph.
Photo shoot.
Photo shoot, sorry.
Bitch, she ain't got so much stamina, I love fucking on camera. Ferrari is a spider, so I call it bitch tarantula. I'm smoking on some shit called pastry, my bitch look like Angela. Any nigga play with me, I promise I'm a hammer. I ain't ready yet, I'm slipping on my Gucci set. My trip by me and Novotel, I hope he don't think he get no sex. Only thing I want is neck, breaking these niggas tryna see who next. All the nigga my type gon' spin that check, gon' take me to wifey and bust my neck. I need a nigga who gon' pop it till I tell him stop it. He gon' play cause he know that I'm popping, he know I got options. My diamonds hidden like they boss and they take shit up nice. Roll this nigga up like he exotic, nigga same time.
If I put it on, it's a photo shoot. When I'm in the mall,
oh, I like that.
That sounds like
a photo shoot.
Sounds like a southern rap song from like 20 years ago.
It's just, yeah,
but
that's a great chorus.
Delivery is very cool. Spooky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, whispery. It's so enchanting is her name.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Her name is Enchanting.
Yeah. Is she new to the scene or
I think so. This is like a Gucci Mane album, but then you get to this track and it's mostly just her doing the whole thing. So I guess she's like the new person out of his crew. But I liked it. It's just a throwback and it's filthy.
She had kind of a signature tone going.
Yeah.
Like her delivery.
Yeah.
It's a photo shoot.
It's like the Sam Smith song, you know, it's full on, you know.
Yeah.
Not suitable.
All right. Coming in at number four.
Number four.
This is Sadie's first pick, first of two. This is Johanna Warren. Am I saying that right?
Johanna.
Yeah. With Piscean Johanna. Lover.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Johanna put out this great record, Lessons for Mutants, almost 3 weeks ago. I run a little imprint for Car Park, and it's called Wax Nine. We publish poetry and get to put out a couple cool records once in a while.
Very
and
cool.
Yeah, this is her latest, really talented guitarist and songwriter and singer.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, thanks for putting that out into the world. I like the tension, the beat. Very cool.
Some time signature folk.
Yeah, I like that. The guitar tones were cool too.
Yeah, like she's
whatever
awesome.
That clean tone.
I think she did it all live to tape in Wales, where she is now homesteading. She's a wild person.
How'd you discover her?
She was friends of friends, and she went to Bard College and was kind of in that whole like DIY scene. So I'd seen her play a bunch of times and was always blown away by, like, she can play solo with a guitar, and I don't often think that's incredibly impressive, but when Johanna does it, it's like mind blowing. So it's cool to hear her also doing the full band thing. She can do both very well.
Right on.
That's awesome.
Shout out to that. Very cool.
Coming in at number three. This is my pick. This is a band I haven't heard in a very long time. This is Toadies.
Whoa!
Toadies.
Deep Water.
Dallas, sorry for Texas. The RX you're going to have to do on me screaming about Toadies.
Time signature for
you. I like it. Psychedelic.
I liked it a lot.
They're on tour right now, right?
I don't know. Are they?
I think they might be. Yeah.
They're not like a band I follow or have checked out in so long, but like I saw that new single was out on one of my like playlists, and I was just very like ready to give Toadies a chance, you know. Like I'm
yeah.
Like,
yeah,
like they feel hungry. Like a band that I'm ready for a new good song, like
yeah, they're yeah. due. Yeah,
I like it. There's good like gnarly guitar chords in it, some cool stuff.
I was waiting for him to toss in a "So help me, Jesus."
Some almost like pavement style guitars.
Yeah, jangly. Say,
yeah, it's a chiller.
Sadie,
Toadies,
you did a pavement show recently, right?
I did. Well, sort of. We played at a semi-fictional pavement museum that was part of a documentary about the band. So the band cut a ribbon, and then we covered some pavement.
That's so cool.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yes. Was Malcolm there?
Yeah, were they watching?
Yep.
Wow.
I think I bullied them into playing. We covered Cream of Gold, and Steve told me they hadn't played it in a very long time, but he was like, but now maybe we will now. And they are now playing it. So
have you been friends?
Band history.
Have you been friends with him for a while?
Yeah, not that long. But I don't know what's long. 2014 we toured together and stayed buddies.
It's not long enough. Could you make that a little longer?
Yeah,
they got to be a big not long enough on you, right?
Definitely both Pavement and the Jicks, big.
Yeah, I could hear that.
Number ones in my heart.
Yeah, that's so cool.
They can't both be number one, but they are.
I mean, to me, that's like a full "You Made It" status, like if you're touring with, you know, your biggest influence.
We took it so seriously covering these songs, and we did it like exactly true to the recordings. Uh-huh. And we did Silence Kid, and Steve was like, "Oh, the long lost intro. Like, we haven't played that ever."
Wow.
Because it's so nice. Like, they're clearly just kind of fucking around.
Right. I was going to say, to do it so faithfully.
We did it exactly.
Like, I just saw them live for the first time like a month ago.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to see that you were doing that. But,
how was it?
Just to think, they were great. Like, they did, they sounded exactly like Pavement. Like, cool. And they did it perfectly. And it was kind of funny just to be like the audience was kind of making me laugh. Like, we were just a lot of sort of like middle-aged dudes who were clearly like big Pavement fans, but at this point in their lives were ready to just sit down and like take it in, you know?
Yeah.
But there was one, I think I said it on the show, there was one guy who was kind of like middle-aged and you could tell was probably like a former party guy.
Yeah.
But he took off his shirt fully, but then was just sitting down the whole time.
Ah, that's beautiful.
And then I also looked and Marc Maron was in the audience, which was the perfect demo.
Oh, it's perfect. Did he have did he have an F-hole guitar on?
Yeah, he was just there waiting to be invited to stage. No, but they were great. And I was like, it was just, it's a band like, you know, I wanted to see live at some point. And so I'm glad I got to see them.
Yeah.
I met Malkmus once and he was totally cool.
He's super nice.
But I was going to say, like, the idea of even for them executing those songs the way they do, and then for you, I imagine, like, the idea of doing them faithfully is so interesting to me because they are so loose and sort of like they always sound like they're about to come apart at the seams.
Be like first take. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how do you
capture
that? I don't
know if they were,
you know?
For the show I saw, they were doing a lot of like 10 minute jams. It was pretty cool to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. They seemed like they were having fun, which I've heard on
I think
previous
they
tours they weren't. Yeah.
They're like the Dead now. They're just going to do extended jams.
And you know what? I'll be there for all of it. Yeah.
John Mayer fronts Pavement.
Right. Yeah.
Right on. Coming in at number two.
Number two.
This is Sadie's second pick. This is Space Moth, a great name, with This Shit.
Space Moth, another Wax 9 artist.
Okay.
Oh, Miriam is a full-time engineer at Tiny Telephone over on your coast, a little farther north. Just a tremendous producer. And
I know Tiny Telephone. That's San Francisco, right?
Yep. Yeah. I think now it's in Oakland. But same studio. Miriam engineers there, and this is her solo project, which she produces too. Really cool. Very music. Cool. Record is called No Past, No Future. Another Wax 9 artist who I love very much.
Very cool. Yeah, I like the synths and the vocals.
Engineers doing it for themselves these
days.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Where's Steve Albini's album?
He's too busy winning every poker game.
Is he a big poker guy?
Yeah, I think he just won some like major world poker record.
Really?
Yes.
He looks like a poker guy. Like, I can picture him at that table with the wraparound shades.
He won a major prize at the World Series of Poker this year.
Damn.
That's so cool.
I remember going to ATP New York when they were doing it at Kutcher's, the like Dirty Dancing Hotel in the Catskills. And I want to say Shellac played. And every other time that they were not playing, Steve Albini was in the poker room, and during their set, there was a sign up being like, "Poker room will return in 75 minutes."
Like, so, they didn't want him in there. They wanted,
like I think he was running the poker room and did not want it to be functioning without him.
Oh, right. Hey, Watch my cards.
That's hilarious. Double duty.
Yeah.
All right. Coming in at number one.
Number one.
This is Howard's second pick. This is Gene Dawson with three heads. Ooh. Wow. That's crazy, man. I really like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That is really fresh sounding to me.
Right on. Yeah, you probably like the whole album, and he's just like, you know, doing experimental guitar stuff, singing when he wants to.
Man, that is like we're in 2022.
Strange
when you
genre,
think about
right?
like the twos of the every decade, like it does feel like this is when new genres start taking over.
Yeah, the decade begins.
The decade begins, and I'm just like this whole thing of like, hip hop is bringing back guitar,
right?
I didn't see that coming.
Like 90s kind of guitar. Too,
yeah, hip hop's like bringing back 90s guitar.
It's like a Polvo drop.
It's crazy. It's
very,
very cool.
Very
though.
Odd bedfellows. Yeah, to go from and then even like Lil Peep a few years ago, where it was like the lyrics were very grungy, and now it's like moved to where like the music has got like that.
Is,
you know,
yeah, it's like this sort of pop punk kind of thing. Yeah,
post. Whatever.
Post-pop, pre.
There you go. So, hey, you know, 2022 has given us some interesting stuff, and there's still some time left.
That one was really cool. That I mean, when it was at that sort of heavy part, that was like really, really interesting musical stuff.
Yeah. They're all pretty interesting on there. Check that out. And... check out Sadie's new book. Tell us a little bit more about the book.
Oh, boy. It's got a blurb from Stephen Malkmus, if that's the thing that incentivizes you to buy a book.
Awesome.
Nice.
It's called Cry Perfume. It came out October 4th with the Boston publisher Black Ocean. I wrote it on tour between 2016 and 2020. And then in the pandemic, I edited it obsessively for a little while. And it's... in part about losing friends to overdose and becoming involved with harm reduction and working with harm reduction groups to bring overdose prevention and reversal materials to music venues. And it's also in part inspired by just being a working touring musician and seeing how the sort of de rigueur conditions of the past 20, 30 years, you know, lack of pay raises kind of contribute to the harm that can lead itself to mental illness and addiction. So it's sort of inspired by my work as an organizer in music, but also just, losing friends and grieving. So that's really sunny. I promise the book's a little more fun than my spiel and his poetry, so it's not as direct as all that.
No wonder you did an appearance at a comedy club with that one.
I know. The comedy club was like the best crowd we had. They were laughing and all the right. I feel like sometimes I have to give people a little, hey, this is Baltimore. Like, can you be as rowdy as I know that you can be?
Right.
I know it's poetry, but you can laugh at the jokes. Comedy club was great. They bought like half our tour t-shirts.
Oh, that's
I'm
going to
only read in comedy clubs from now on.
Yeah, right on. very cool. Well, yeah. Congratulations on the book.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's really cool.
And start Comedy Bang Bang World.
Comedy Bang Bang World. And check out Play It By Ear on Dropout TV. You might be seeing clips on TikTok. Check it out. It's like improv musical with Zach and Jess. And
speaking of you on TikTok, like, I have a thing where every time I post something to TikTok, as soon as it's done posting, then it's you doing Star Wars on the trombone.
Oh, really? You saw that? That's funny. No,
like, I mean, every time I finish a post, like, I post like 4 or 5 times a week on there. As soon That's as crazy. It's done, it comes back to
Yeah.
Check that out on Starch TikTok.
Yeah, I was the original trombone champ. Have you seen that that game, that mobile game or whatever?
No,
people are playing. It's really funny. It's kind of like Rock Band.
Oh, I heard about this.
You're controlling a trombone player, and you're trying to follow the notes, and it's just so funny. Even if you're messing up.
So you're just on there going like this.
Yeah, and people are trying to do like super fast songs, like Fly to the Bumblebee and stuff on trombone. Yeah. But I grew up, you know, playing trombone for school, and so like. I don't know, trombone is such an inherently funny instrument. Surprises me it took this long for something like that to come out, for everyone to just like laugh at how funny a trombone
is. What are you holding? Your phone? You just hold your phone? What do you do with that?
Oh, you're not using a real trombone. You're just hitting keys. It's almost like Flappy Bird or whatever.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like it'd be more funny to...
That would be great. People standing on the street.
Yeah, plastic trombone. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe right on, in VR. Congrats on that.
My band before Speedy had a trombone in lieu of bass. He had a mute that had like eighth inch out, and he just ran it through a bunch of pedals and made it sound like a synth bass. It was
Wow. Who did
this? That's cool.
This was my old band.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It was cool.
That's a long walk to a bass sound, you know?
Yeah.
I can do it, but
it didn't sound like bass. It was like octave down and through some fuzz. It sounded more like a synth, but
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Casey and Man Man used to do.
He auditioned for White Stripes and they were like, nah, we're good. So, no bass. We're good.
Casey and Man Man used to do like, he'd put like an octave pedal or whatever on his sax, baritone sax, and he could do like such cool things with that. Like, it was just the coolest sound. He would sing backup vocals through his sax too, because it was just like, it was easier for him, you know, than like taking it and then going to the mic. So you just put the you know, whatever, the horn up to the mic, and then you'd hear him like, it was like good enough for the backing vocals.
That rocks.
Right on. Check that out. Check out haveasomo.com/shop. Pick up an Austin Stories DVD. Check out Grift Horse and Drop Date Duel. And we will see you right here next week on Who Charted.